that it?
That's it.
Okay. One more. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be too good.
Okay. Thank you. Anyway, for cell biologists, mutations are one of the nicest things to work with. You have cotton lines that have naturally mutated. So you can go through and find the loci, my field genes, that are involved in these processes. Understanding the genotypes and genetics of the fibrous and fuzzous lines will facilitate the deciphering of the mechanism of fiber initiation. I started this project early on, back in 1992, just trying to develop lines that I could use in my research. Now, I will tell you one of my pet peeves, I don't like the word naked. If you are fully clothed without any underwear, you're not naked, okay? These naked seed lines have fiber most of the times, okay? So they're not naked. They're fuzzless. So when you see, hear me call them fuzzless, I'm bucking the norm by not calling them naked. But the last fuzzless seed lines can have between 0 and 25% lint. That's quite a bit of lint when you think about 25%. It's not real good. Kind of depressing, but it's usually high quality. I also prefer the term fiberless over the lintless fuzzless, which a lot of people are using lately. Both lint and fuzz are fibers, and therefore, it's the shortest descriptive word. Wow, 644. Okay, these are the three fibrous lines I've been working with lately. The MD17 I released back in 2002. I ended up crossing two lines, line 243 and 143. 243 is a dominant recessive dominant fuzzous seed in one. And 143 is a recessive fuzzless seed in two line. And out of every 16 plants, you get one fiberless. So that line was released. We're pretty confident of that. This last year, the first cross ever made was with SL171, which is Stevens' line. It is fiberless. In Australia, though, it tends to produce a little bit of lint. So maybe part of that is environmentally influenced. Anyway, it has a dominant fuzzous seed allele, and I designated the two other alleles, FL1 and N3, for fibrous 1 and naked seed 3. And there goes the naked. It does pop out. The XE142W is a Chinese fibrous line. It's been reported on twice with two different genotypes. And this line has given me problems now because which one do you use? I have to go out and figure out which one it is. When you cross them, you cross fibrous lines, you expect a fibrous line. Well, since the genotypes differ, you always get a little bit of fiber, except for on the SL171 crossed by XE142 line, which you get a lot of fiber. It's only about 3 or 4%, but it still looks like a lot. Again, really not that naked. So, during the when you read these papers, the first phenotype or genotype, sorry, the N2N2 LI3 was reported by Pan and Zhang back in 1991, using the normal nomenclature of N1 as being the dominant fuzzous seed locus, and N2 being a recessive fuzzous seed locus. I put the LI1 and LI2 down here because they're dominant short lint loci. Ligand lintless has short lint and fuzz. A lot of people like to say, well, lintless. Well, it's not lintless, it's just short lint. The other genotype was introduced back in 2001 in plant breeding, and they've actually changed the nomenclature on us a little bit, which really gave me headaches the week after Christmas because I had to try to figure out what they were actually doing. But they say the N1 is a dominant fuzzy seed locus, and the dominant N2 is a dominant fuzzless seed locus, with the recessive LI3 and LI4 creating the lintless phenotype. So we have a problem. We have to figure this out. I figured, though, if we go by the second, the Dew paper, we would have lines that look like the ligand lengthless. This is ligand lengthless 2. It is actually Li2 dominant. So therefore you have shortlin and fuzz. But this genotype, here we go, genotype right here should also have this same phenotype, which we haven't been able to find so far. Now, I have to apologize. I made this the last day before I came out. I was going to change it the night I went home. I didn't. It's a terrible slide. But it's a lot like my desk. Very confusing. A lot of junk. But anyway, again, we call this, this would be maybe the short lint. Sorry, the fuzz with no lint. So theoretically, out of 256 plants, we should have one of these. If this is actually also no lint and fuzz, we should have a total of 3 plants, one here and then 2 more with this genotype. Our observations in this, we have about close to 500 progeny. We use the, obviously, the Pan and Zhang ratios, basically 12 to 3 to 1, 12 fuzzy to 3 naked to fuzzless to 1 fiberless, and basically got good ratios, chi-squares. We also did this. This was with a population, F2 population, from the line I used to like to use, which is DP5690 crossed by XE142. We also did a line that Chinzen Zhang gave me, which is I call XE fuzz. I'm not sure what it is, but he said it was neuroacidogenic to the XE142W. So we crossed those. Also about 500 population, got a chi-square of 0.6950 with a probability of 70%. So that, it all fits. So we like still using that. I'm not sure if it's correct. We have to do a lot of other things. I have back crosses that I have not looked at right now yet. But the one thing that bothers me is we like to get the lintless locus out there. Fuzzless seed loci in cotton inhibit fiber initiation. Usually all the fuzz fiber except for the tufted seed, and a partial inhibition of the lint initiation. I'm going to go ahead and skip this and go straight to this. I did a survey on 14 of these fuzzless lines. I was hoping I'd find a few of the recessive, but they were all dominant in one. And we went from everywhere to about 0.5% lint to 23.6, which is right there. So we had a wide variation. These are all dominant naked seed. Dominant fuzzless, okay? Here you have, oops, what did I do? Anyway, in that one you had just a very few fibers. You have just a very few fibers, and they all initiate on that chalazal end. So you get a chalazal.